Good morning. My name is Beth, and I will be your conference operator. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Algoma Central Corporation Fourth Quarter Results Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Peter Winkley, Vice President, Finance and CFO. You may begin your conference.
Thank you, Beth, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Algoma Central Corporation Fiscal 2013 Year-End and Fourth Quarter Investor Conference Call. As Beth said, my name is Peter Winkley, and I'm VP Finance and Chief Financial Officer of Algoma. Hopefully by now you've seen our news release that was sent out at the end of the day yesterday. We expect to make our full annual SEDAR filings early next week. But in the meantime, thank you for joining us to get an overview of our 2013 financial results. We are broadcasting this event courtesy of CNW, and you will find a PowerPoint presentation on our profile page at the CNW website that will highlight the details that we will be discussing on this conference call. Copies of these slides will also be available following this call on our website. Joining me this morning on the call is Greg White, President and CEO of Algoma. This morning I will take you through the financial highlights for the quarter, following which I will turn the call over to Greg for his perspective on the events in the quarter and the outlook for the business. We will then open it up for questions. Before we begin, I should remind you that our comments today may contain forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainty that could cause actual events to vary materially. Some of these risks are disclosed in the management discussion and analysis portion of the company's annual report and in the 2012 annual information form filed with the relevant security regulators. Also, as otherwise noted, all amounts are in Canadian dollars. I encourage you to review our 2013 filings next week for further details. To begin with, I'm going to take you through the financial highlights for the quarter and for the year-to-date and touch upon a couple of operational highlights. We had some notable achievements during the first quarter of 2013, which Greg will touch on further in a few minutes. That said, we are disappointed with our financial results. The construction and agriculture sectors remained challenging, although by the end of the year we were beginning to see a positive impact from record grain harvest in Western Canada. Winter weather struck early and hard throughout the Great Lakes region, affecting not only vessel operating conditions and productivity during November-December, but also the performance of railways in their movement of grain to Thunder Bay for transshipment onto vessels. As expected, the end of the Canadian Wheat Board single trading desk had an impact on grain shipping activity throughout the year, and we did see more seasonality in grain shipments than experienced in recent years. We were encouraged that customer demand for grain shipments strengthened considerably during the fall following the record Canadian harvest. Consolidated revenue for the year was $491.5 million compared to $527.9 million in 2012. The decrease in revenue for the year all occurred prior to the fourth quarter, and revenues for Q4 were $148.9 million this year compared to $148.7 million last year. There are some specific segment differences that I will cover in a moment. Segment earnings after tax for fiscal 2013 were $46.1 million compared to $59.8 million for 2012. The decrease was due to domestic dry bulk. As a reminder, segment earnings net of tax reflect the operating earnings attributable to our business segments on an after-tax basis and is before considering foreign exchange gains or losses as well as interest, income, and expense, none of which is allocated to our business segments. Our general and administration expenses are down from the prior year, and I remind you that the 2012 G&A expenses included the impact of arbitration costs incurred in connection with our tanker contract cancellation. All G&A costs are fully allocated to our business segments, and so they are reflected in the business segments that we will be discussing. During the fourth quarter, we collected amounts owed to us related to the cancellation in 2010 of three ocean tanker construction contracts, and the interest on this refund of $3.8 million is included in interest income for the quarter. Also during the fourth quarter, we concluded a tax dispute related to the valuation of some Northern Ontario land sold in 1997. Settlement of this issue resulted in a tax cost of $4.6 million, and there was also interest income and interest expense of approximately $2 million each. These amounts roughly offset, although both the interest income and interest expense lines are grossed up to reflect this transaction. Finally, the deterioration in the Canadian dollar over the course of 2013 has generally resulted in foreign exchange gains, where last year we were experiencing losses as a result of Canadian dollar strength. Net earnings for the year were $41.9 million compared to $42.2 million in 2012, and earnings per share were $1.08 for both years. For the fourth quarter, net earnings and earnings per share were $22.8 million and 59 cents, compared to $24.3 million and 62 cents last year. I will now turn to the results from our business units. Domestic dry bulk revenues for fiscal 2013 were $323 million compared to $375.6 million for 2012. For the fourth quarter, revenues were $102.6 million compared to $112.4 million in 2012. Tonnage carried was 9.1% lower for 2013, particularly due to decreases in the agriculture and construction sectors. It was particularly acute in the agriculture sector, where the loss of single trading desk status for the wheat board and the emergence of new competitors in the market had a profound effect on grain movements. In particular, we saw much lower movement of grains to the St. Lawrence through most of 2013 compared to what we would have seen in prior periods. This change, combined with some vessel incidents early in the year, resulted in 7.8% fewer operating days than in 2012. Revenue from the agricultural sector for Q4 was lower in 2013 than the prior year, in part due to delays farmers faced getting their crops shipped by rail to Thunder Bay. The domestic dry bulk segment after-tax operating earnings were $14.9 million for the year, compared to $32.4 million reported for 2012, and for the quarter were $14.6 million compared to $21.5 million last year. The drop is attributable to the lower revenues. Our product tanker segment continued its strong performance in the fourth quarter. Revenues from product tankers for the year were $100.6 million and their highest level ever, compared to $87.2 million in 2012. The fourth quarter, which was also a record, accounts for $29.2 million of these revenues compared to $22.3 million in 2012. Strong demand year-round resulted in more chartering of capacity, which drives revenues, but on which we earn a small margin. As a result of these strong revenues, segment earnings after tax were $3.1 million for the quarter and $13.7 million for the year, up from $2 million and $9.3 million reported in 2012. Segment earnings for the fourth quarter were lower than might be expected on the strong revenues, principally because of the chartering, but also because regulatory dry dockings required were done during the last quarter of the year. I would also like to remind you that the 2012 results for the year reflect arbitration-related legal fees that were repeated this year. Turning to the results of ocean shipping, our share of pool revenues for the third quarter was $15.9 million and for the year $64.1 million, compared to $12.9 million and $67.7 million for the same periods in 2012. The decrease for the two periods reflects the sale late in 2012 of one of our 50% owned vessels and a dry docking late in the fourth quarter of 2012 of one of our wholly owned vessels. While the sale of the 50% owned vessel impacted our share of pool revenues and our earnings from joint arrangements, it did not impact the revenues we reported in our consolidated results, as those come from our 100% owned ships. Consolidated revenues reported for the fourth quarter therefore rose from $6.7 million last year to $9.8 million for 2013, and that's because of the vessel that we had in dry docking in the fourth quarter last year. In addition, we had our other wholly owned vessel in dry docking earlier in the year in 2012, and so our reported revenues for the full fiscal year in 2013 rose by nearly 10% to $39.5 million, and this was as a result of the additional operating days in 2013. After-tax earnings for the segment were $15.3 million for 2013 compared to $15 million last year. For the fourth quarter, these amounts were $3.4 million and $3.6 million respectively. Fourth quarter earnings for 2012 included a gain on the sale of the retired ship, which offset the loss of earnings from having our ship in dry dock. Excluding the impact of that gain from 2012 results, and segment earnings for ocean shipping were ahead of last year. Revenue from our real estate segment, Algoma Central Properties, was $28.3 million for the year compared to $29.2 million in 2012, and after-tax earnings were $2.2 million for 2013 compared to $3.1 million last year. Our Sault Ste. Marie hotel delivered disappointing results all year as the hotel market in that city has been very weak. Improved results from Station Mall and from some improved leases compared to the same period last year helped results overall, but did not offset the impact from the hotel. That summarizes the highlights on the income statement. I will now turn to major items affecting cash flow. Cash flow from operations for the year was $105.2 million compared to $100.1 million in 2012. Although EBITDA was lower for 2013 compared to 2012, this was more than offset by a $32 million improvement in net working capital, which reflects a reduction in accounts receivable and the timing of an installment payment on our next Equinox class vessel, which was included in accounts payable at year-end this year. Including this installment payment, for the year we invested $51.9 million in capital assets, primarily related to vessel construction. At the end of the fourth quarter, as I mentioned previously, we collected nearly $42 million of outstanding installments from the canceled tanker project, including the interest. As a result, at the end of the year, we had cash of $216 million and net working capital of $234 million. This is more than adequate to cover our Equinox class construction costs as well as any other commitments. Our funded pension plans had a very strong year this year, recording actuarial gains of $25.7 million on extremely strong investment returns and discount rates that are beginning to return to levels closer to long-term norms. By year-end, our two funded pension plans were actually in surplus. Our shareholders' equity at year-end was $561 million, or $14.42 per share. In January, our board of directors declared a 7-cent dividend per share payable on March 3rd to shareholders of record on March 17th. That covers the operating and financial highlights for the fourth quarter, and I will now turn it over to Greg White, our CEO.
Thank you, Peter. The trend of significant accomplishments and the ongoing evolution of our one vision, one purpose, one team strategic focus continued throughout 2013. Unfortunately, these accomplishments were somewhat overshadowed by the disappointing financial results that Peter has just reviewed. That being said, the obvious highlight of 2013 was the arrival of the Algoma Equinox in Canada in late November. 20 Algoma crew members began the long journey from Nantong Mingdi Shipyard in China on October 1st, with the vessel arriving in Port Cartier, Quebec on November 30th for the loading of its first cargo. The Algoma Equinox is the first in a series of 8 vessels being built at Nantong Mingdi Shipyard. The series consists of 4 gearless bulk carriers and 4 self-unloading bulk carriers. Algoma will own 6 of the series, consisting of 2 gearless bulk carriers and the 4 self-unloading vessels. CWB Inc., formerly the Canadian Wheat Board, will own the other 2 gearless vessels, which will be operated and managed by Algoma. The Equinox class represents the next generation of Great Lakes St. Lawrence Waterway bulk cargo vessels. Algoma's $300 million investment in the 6 Equinox class vessels demonstrates the corporation's commitment to operating in a sustainable manner. These vessels have been designed to optimize fuel efficiency and operating performance, thus minimizing their environmental impact. A 45% improvement in energy efficiency over Algoma's current fleet average is expected, resulting from the use of a modern, efficient, Tier 2 compliant main engine, significantly increased cargo capacity, and an advanced hull form that produces less resistance through the water. In addition, a fully integrated IMO-approved exhaust gas scrubber will remove 97% of all sulfur oxides from shipboard emissions. The use of exhaust gas scrubbers represents the first application of an IMO-approved integrated scrubber on the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Waterway. We expect the second Equinox class gearless bulker, the Algoma Harvester, to arrive in Canada late in the second quarter, with the 2 CWB Inc. vessels to arrive later in 2014. The four Equinox-class self-unloaders will follow throughout 2015. We are, however, disappointed that the delivery schedule for the Equinox-class vessels has slipped considerably from original expectations. We continue to work with the shipyard to accelerate the remaining delivery dates as much as possible. Offsetting this disappointment is the fact that the quality and workmanship of the shipyard is very good. Our decision to develop an innovative and advanced vessel has taken more time than what might have been achieved with a lesser design. But that said, we firmly believe we have made the right decision for Algoma, our customers, and the environment. We are also very pleased that the arbitration process relating to the cancellation of contracts to build three product tankers in China reached a successful conclusion in December 2013. These shipbuilding contracts contained provisions that permitted cancellation under certain conditions. These conditions were met in 2010, and accordingly, Algoma issued notices of rescission to the shipyard seeking to cancel the contracts. The matter was taken to arbitration by the shipyard, and hearings were conducted before a tribunal in London in September 2012. The arbitration tribunal found in favor of Algoma in all matters in April 2013. Following this decision, the shipyard sought leave to appeal, and in November, the UK Commercial Court rejected the shipboard's application. On December 27th, the shipyard returned $37.9 million in installments advanced by Algoma, together with interest in the amount of $3.8 million. I am also pleased to note that for 2013, the total shareholder return, which includes share appreciation and dividends for Algoma Central Corporation shareholders, was 20%. By comparison, the S&P/TSX Composite Total Return Index increased by 13% for the same period. This follows total shareholder returns of 41% for 2012 and 11% for 2011. And over the 10-year period ended December 31st, 2013, the total shareholder returns for the corporation's common shares grew at a compound rate of 11%. Our outlook for 2014 includes an optimistic view for Canadian grain exports following the record Canadian crop harvested in 2013. The North American steel industry also looks to continue current performance levels with persistent strong demand for steel products such as automobiles in North America. Finally, we expect shipments of construction materials such as aggregate products and cement to continue their recovery from the recession of 2009 and expect the movement of road control stalls to be strong due to the extreme winter weather conditions currently being experienced. In addition, we are very excited about the arrival in 2014 of more Equinox-class vessels and are looking forward to realizing the significant operating efficiencies these vessels will deliver. In closing, I would like to remind you that the annual meeting of shareholders will be held in St. Catharines on May 2, 2014. We invite you to attend and look forward to seeing you at that time. I will now turn it over to the conference operator for the question and answer session.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Blake Plowham, Raymond James Limited. Your line is open.
Oh, hi, Greg. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Blake.
Hi, Blake.
How are you guys? Good. Okay, so one question I have is tanker outlook for 2014. Do you expect it to remain as strong as it's been for 2013?
Yes, we do. We see 14 as strong as 13, maybe even stronger.
Okay. I covered that. What's your outlook for the start of the 2014 shipping season, given the amount of ice on the Great Lakes, et cetera?
We're concerned about the start of the season and the impact the accumulation of ice will have on vessel transits through late March, early April.
So does that mean, like, kind of slower off the block, or
it would be slower off the block and maybe fewer ships coming out to beat themselves up in the ice.
Okay. Now the tax issue, is that sorry, and I didn't quite catch the comment on that, but are all tax issues now back tax issues now settled?
Yeah, that was really the only one. It was a V-Day value dispute that arose related to the sale of about 800,000 acres back in 97, and it's been ongoing through the objection and appeals process now since, well, I guess for a dozen years. So that was really the only matter. It had been disclosed in our annual notes as an open item in prior years. But the opportunity arose this year to settle the thing and stop spending legal fees on it, so we chose to go there.
Okay, so it's been settled, and the company paid $4.6 million in interest. Is that what I understand, or sorry?
What we had done is we had actually paid an installment towards the tax amount back in 2002. So from a cash perspective, we're actually getting back about $5 million. The tax cost was $4.6 million, but the way the tax reassessment process works is we had an interest cost up until the time that we paid the installment, and then we earned interest income from that date on the amount that we paid that was in excess of what we ultimately paid in taxes. So those two amounts just happened to be just a little over $2 million each. They really offset. So the net impact from a P&L standpoint is primarily the tax provision.
Yeah.
As I said, we will actually get cash back because we had placed that on deposit with CRA.
Okay. So you're looking at tax back in the amount of roughly $5 million.
Yep.
Okay. Is there a way that you could quantify the impact of the weather on Q4 in terms of the early winter extreme temperatures, et cetera? Did it stop you from actually shipping product?
The answer to that is probably there's too many moving pieces to quantify it exactly. Certainly the weather was a partial contributor to grain not getting to Thunder Bay. It wasn't the biggest aspect of that. The lack of rail car capacity was a bigger issue there than weather. As far as our ship movements were concerned, certainly December particularly, the buildup of ice occurring earlier than would normally be the case, would have slowed us down. In some cases, that's a cost our customers bear. In other cases, it's a cost that we bear. So there's a number of moving parts. It'd be very difficult to tease out exactly what could be directly attributed to weather.
Okay. And are we anticipating lake levels to be higher, and will that be beneficial to Algoma in the 2014 season?
Well, certainly because of the ice cover throughout the lakes, virtually all the lakes but Lake Ontario are fully ice covered, that should lead to improved water levels in 14, less evaporation during the winter and more precipitation into the water. So we fully expect water levels to be improved. I mean, that's obviously one impact of the weather. The other impact of the extreme weather is just the usage of salt around the Great Lakes has been very high, and in fact, a lot of places are running out, so we'll be quite busy resupplying the salt depots.
And just to make sure I understand, on the new ships, we're expecting 3 this year and the remaining 4 in 2015?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's great. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Blake.
That's all I have. Great. Take care, guys.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, star 1 on your telephone keypad. No further questions at this time. Turn the call back to Mr. Winkley.
This is Greg. Thank you for joining us today. Should you have any further questions, please do not hesitate to give Peter or myself a call. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect. Thank you.